Can't Start a Fire Without a Spark, written by Very Rach and read by Flower Parish. This is a Marvel and DC crossover fic, rated explicit, featuring the relationship Frank Castle / Jason Todd. Hey there, baby. I could use just a little bit. You can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for hire. Even if we're just dancing in the dark. Chapter 1. It's raining. Of course. Like, it's not bad enough being in Gotham, like things haven't turned shitty enough already, like Frank doesn't deserve one single break from the universe. Hell, he knows he doesn't. It's just a damn shame that the universe has to remind him with so much fucking rain. He doesn't even need to be here anymore. 3 days in the city before he discovered his target is spending Christmas in Gestad, making the whole fucking trip an enormous and wet waste of time. He'd be halfway back to New York already, if it weren't for the damn dog. It's just a puppy, a small, blue-gray thing with the softest brown eyes and the sweetest face Frank has ever seen. Maybe 5 or 6 weeks old, he thinks, but he's no expert. Too young to fend for himself, in any case, which is why Frank is hunkered down next to a dumpster in the pouring rain, trying to coax the damn pup out from underneath said dumpster with a slice of Oscar Mayer chopped ham. It wobbles disgustingly when he thrusts it toward the darkness, and his fingers are starting to go numb with the cold. "Yeah, I don't blame you," Frank mutters when his dubious offering fails to produce even a hint of canine interest. "I'm more of a prosciutto guy myself." "There's a reason you're spending your night hanging out in the rain trying to feed the rats," a voice behind him asks. Frank doesn't turn around, doesn't move at all, doesn't even let the ham fall from his fingers. He does let half his mind wander, starts thinking about the precise width of the alleyway, the slipperiness of the pavement under his feet, whether the detritus scattered on the ground contains anything that could be useful in a fight. He doesn't know who the voice belongs to, but there aren't that many people in the city who could get the drop on him in a high-walled alleyway with a single point of access. Add the fact that whoever had snuck up on him hasn't yet stabbed him in the back, and he's 90% sure he's dealing with a cape. "As it happens, I got a hot date later," Frank says. "This is just me washing my hair." "Oh yeah," the voice drawls. "Shame, I was kinda hoping you were free tonight." "Make that 99%. "I tell you what," Frank says, lowering the ham slowly. "You get the puppy out from under the dumpster, and I'll go right ahead and cancel my plans." Slowly, achingly slowly, Frank stands up and turns around, silently cursing the ache in his knees, the coldness in his hands that makes it hard to flex fingers. He telegraphs his movements as much as he can. He'll fight if he has to, but he's not actually here with the intention of starting shit with a cape tonight. "Damn, Frank," the Red Hood says, and Frank can hear the grin in his voice underneath his mask. "You keep making offers like that, you're gonna get in trouble." "Yeah, am I in trouble now?" Frank asks carefully. "Well now, that depends," Hood says. He tilts his head to the side. It's unnerving how well Frank can read his mood despite the mask. "You want to tell me what you're doing in my city, Frank?" Frank laughs. It's a mirthless, sour thing. He's been standing outside in the rain for too long to manage anything approaching an actual sense of humor. "You think I'm out here trying to rescue a puppy in the rain as a precursor to anything even remotely nefarious? I don't know how you do things in Gotham, but where I'm from, the bad guys tend not to waste their time on lost causes." "The puppy's a lost cause," Red Hood asks, and something important has changed about his voice. Frank can't put his finger on what exactly is different, but he knows the prickly feeling on the back of his neck, the voice on his head shouting danger, have both gone quiet. "Hell if I know," Frank says, and then, "I hope not." Red Hood considers him for a moment more, and then nods decisively. He steps away, starts talking quietly. Calms in the helmet, Frank assumes, from the one-sided nature of his mumbling. A moment later, and he's back, closer this time, looks Frank up and down. "It's a brave man who visits Gotham without an umbrella," he says eventually. Frank gets the impression it's not what he wants to say, or not all of it, maybe. But before he can press the issue, a horde of bats descend from the walls around them and he's busy trying to coordinate the capture of a very small and very scared baby pit bull. Frank turns him down twice before he agrees to follow Jason home. Well, it's not his home, of course. It's one of a series of safe houses owned by a complicated series of nested shell companies, rendering its true ownership untraceable. But it's a home, kinda, and crucially, it's a better place to spend the night than the alleyway he's currently occupying, flooded as it is by torrential rain. "It's up to you, Frank," Jason says. "You're welcome to take your chances finding a dog shelter that's open at 12:45 on Christmas Eve." He's aware he sounds more than a little sarcastic, but they've been in this alleyway for nearly an hour now, and although his suit is waterproof, it's not that well insulated, and he'd really, really like to call it a night before he loses the last iota of feeling in his toes. He tips his head to the side and waits, letting some frustration leak into his body language. "It's not that late," Frank says. "I can drive back to the city, be home in a few hours." His point is undermined by the chattering of his teeth. "Yeah, sure. Or you can walk 2 minutes down the street with me and dry off immediately, and feed your puppy and eat something yourself. Pretty sure I have some hot chocolate, too." Jason waits, but Frank's shaking his head, or maybe just shaking. "Okay, you know what, man? You do you." It doesn't feel great to say it, but Jason knows it also feels pretty bad to waste your time trying to help someone who doesn't want it. Luckily, he doesn't have to carry it for long. Frank's quiet, "Wait," reaches him before he gets to the end of the alleyway. "Make yourself at home," Jason says. Frank looks around the sparsely furnished apartment and shrugs. The puppy pokes his head out of Frank's jacket and looks around. His fur is still soaked through, but his little eyes are bright and alert, and Jason's maybe 80% sure his shaking is from the cold, not from fear. Frank takes him out and sets him down. He's surprisingly gentle for a big man. Jason finds himself having to look away, and he can't tell why. "There are towels in one of the cupboards, maybe." "Probably." "That a fact or a question?" Frank asks. His voice is muffled. When Jason turns to look, he's busy pulling his shirt off, revealing a gorgeously muscled chest, sparsely dusted with dark, wiry hair. Out of the corner of his eye, Jason catches sight of a calendar. He wonders if he's been a good enough boy this year that Santa's delivered him a DILF. "Probably not." "Can't remember," Jason calls, moving into the tiny kitchen in the corner of the room. "You might have to hunt for him." He pulls out a pair of mugs while Frank searches and starts heating the milk for the hot chocolate he'd promised earlier. Maybe he's not going to get everything on his Christmas list, but that doesn't mean they can't have one nice thing tonight. Chapter 2. Frank kisses like he's drowning, and Jason is a life raft. It's unexpected, but not unwelcome. Jason tips his head back and opens his mouth a little wider, letting Frank take what he wants, grinning at the taste of hot chocolate lingering on his tongue. Despite his size, and the ever-present threat of violence bubbling away just below the surface, there's also a vulnerability to Frank, and Jason doesn't want to push him. He does moan, though, not quite on purpose. The sounds pulled out of him as he lets himself sink into the sensation of Frank taking him on and taking him over. He's still moaning, feeling blissed out, the low heat in his belly starting to build to something a little more pointed when Frank pulls away, eyeing him cautiously. "Everything okay?" Jason asks, meeting Frank's gaze. "Wasn't sure if this was what you meant when you invited me over." Invited me over, like Jason asked him for a sleepover, like they're grade school friends or something. Jason bites down on the urge to ask Frank to braid his hair and hops up onto the kitchen counter instead, spreading his legs wide in invitation and grinning when Frank steps in between them. "It wasn't, but I'm not complaining," Jason says. He lets his hands rest on Frank's hips, not holding him or pulling at him, just staying there so he can feel him. There's a fight inside Frank, like he's only half there. Jason's happy to let him take his time, to spar with whatever inner demons are stomping around in his mental boxing ring. He'll be here when Frank's ready. "Can't make you any promises," Frank mutters gruffly. Jason smiles, and can feel it doesn't reach his eyes. It must look as bittersweet as he feels. Not asking for any Frank, just a little company for Christmas Eve. It's gorgeous when he makes up his mind. His face clears, the shadows lifting like clouds drifting off after a storm, and he inches forward into Jason's space, pressing himself close until they're flush against each other. Frank is so solid, a slab of a man, muscle-bound and top-heavy. Jason's not used to feeling this small, but it's not doing it for him. Jason wraps his legs around Frank's glorious trunk and squeezes experimentally. Frank grunts. It sounds like a warning, a little bit, but before Jason can let go, there are huge hands under his thighs, and he's being scooped up and carried out of the kitchen. Frank handles him with surprising care, depositing him on the bed with enough tenderness that Jason feels strangely precious. Climbing up, he tugs Jason's shirt off and cages him in with thick arms, a look in his eyes that Jason can't read. A hand cups his cheek and then tugs at the corner of his domino mask. This staying on? You gonna tell anyone if I take it off? Jason asks. Frank manages the impressive feat of shrugging while on all fours. Probably not, especially if it's not all you take off. Jason smirks and peels the mask off, tossing it aside carelessly. Frank sucks in a breath, and then his mouth is on him again, hot and urgent. It's sloppy now, his earlier finesse gone. The tenderness is still there, but he's lost the ability to aim it properly. He kisses the corner of Jason's mouth, his jaw, down his neck, mouth slack and open. His breath is hot on Jason's skin, driving away the very last remnants of the damp night's chill that had clung to him. "This okay?" Frank mumbles, from somewhere in the general vicinity of his collarbone. Jason hums his agreement and sinks his hand into Frank's hair, encourages him further down. When Frank's mouth finds a nipple, Jason can't help but tighten his grip, getting a grunt out of him as he pulls his hair. "Shit, sorry," Jason says. He doesn't 100% mean it. The look Frank gives him suggests he knows that, too. "Come back up here. Tell me what you like," Jason asks, slipping a hand down the back of Frank's pants and squeezing his ass. It has the unexpected bonus effect of holding Frank in place, too, so Jason can grind up against him. "Not that fussy." Frank regards him, gaze solemn and deep. "You got something in mind?" Jason knows exactly what he wants, has wanted it since he first saw Frank, waterlogged and crawling out from under a dumpster, like something out of a low-budget Magic Mike reboot. He wraps his legs around Frank and pulls him close, locking him there with his thighs. "You wanna fuck me?" Jason asks. "Yeah, that works." Frank's expression doesn't change all that much, but he does roll his hips. Jason can feel his cock, already thick and hard between their bodies, jutting up and rubbing against his own. He goes slow, but firm, letting gravity and the weight of his muscles do the work for him. It's a teaser of what's to come, and it works perfectly. Jason can't wait for the main event. "Fuck, Frank, you're so..." Jason doesn't finish the sentence. He's not sure what he's trying to say anyway. Present. Heavy, maybe, although he'd think twice before saying that out loud. Frank doesn't seem like the kind of guy to get his panties in a twist over something like that, and Jason means it as a compliment, but there's no point in risking it, just in case. Real, perhaps, is the word he's looking for. Real and here and vital. He's pressing Jason down so beautifully, making him feel so small, and yet grounding him at the same time. Frank grunts instead of answering, kneeling up and popping the button on his jeans. He's naked underneath. Jason grins as he shoves them down his thighs. Frank raises an eyebrow at that and swats his side. "Get out of these," he says, flicking at the leg of Jason's pants. "With pleasure." Jason arches his hips up and grins when Frank's hands join his own in pulling them down. He likes their fingers tangled together. Frank has large hands, and like everything about him, it makes Jason feel unexpectedly comforted. There's something about the frankness of Frank, his steadfast, concrete solidity, that makes Jason feel like he can lower his guard a little. Nothing is getting to him without Frank at least slowing it down a little, so for once, he feels protected, safe. Frank licks his lips when Jason is naked, an unconscious gesture that thrills him. "Like what you see?" "Wouldn't be here if I didn't," Frank says. It's a little curt, a little gruff, But he puts his hand on Jason's thigh and squeezes, and there's a sad sort of smile on his lips, as if he doesn't remember how to let a grin take over, so Jason doesn't take it personally. Instead, he tells Frank to grab the condoms and lube out of the nightstand. No need for prep, he says, while Frank's busy rummaging in the drawer. Or not much anyway, probably. I fingered myself earlier. Should be good to go. Jesus, Frank mutters, shaking his head. Merry Christmas to me. I was that much of a sure thing, huh? Nah, this was before I went on patrol. Just for fun, Jason tells him. I was jerking off in the shower and had a little extra time to kill, so. He watches Frank, likes the look he gets as he thinks about the image of Jason. He's so focused most of the time, hypervigilant and switched on. But now his gaze glazes over a little. Can you picture it? There I was, naked and soaking wet, head thrown back and water pouring down my chest, fucking myself on my own fingers. Jesus, Frank says again. He swallows first. It takes a second to get the word out, like his throat is on a delay, or not hooked up to his brain properly. Shit, kid, you're gonna be the death of me if you don't shut up. Roll over. Jason goes willingly, twisting to look over his shoulder. Frank settles in behind him, kisses the corner of his mouth. The angle is awkward, but he means it so much. He's so sincere it almost hurts, a cold blade slicing across Jason's skin, threatening him, but not quite slicing him open. Frank pushes inside him so slowly, Jason wants to cry. He feels big hands on his hips when he tries to push back, holding him down firmly, pressing him into the mattress. Whining does nothing to weaken his resolve either, just earns him a low grunt and the flexing of strong fingers on his skin. Fuck, Frank. I told you I was okay. You don't have to go so slow, Jason complains. Who said it's for you? Frank tells him. He's not a big talker, apparently. That's the last thing he says for a while. Frank fucks Jason agonizingly slowly, sliding into him with long, tantalizing rolls of his hips that feel like they're dragging the pleasure out of Jason against his will. It's heady, the pressure of his body holding Jason down. There's thick, hot breath coming in waves across the back of his neck, where Frank is panting. He catches Jason's ear between his teeth at one point and holds it like it's something precious, while he drags himself out of Jason so slowly. It's a gorgeous torture, as torture goes, better than any other Jason's had to endure. He stretches his arms out, digs his hands into the sheets, and tries to arch his back, anything to get a little more leverage, anything to tempt him into quickening his pace just a fraction. But Frank's resolve is stronger than Jason's patience. He huffs a laugh in Jason's ear, the only clue he knows exactly what Jason is doing. He still doesn't say anything, though, just keeps rolling his hips and dropping sloppy kisses on the back of his neck. Frank is slow as molasses and twice as sweet. Jason loves it and doesn't know how he can bear it, all at the same time. Time goes syrupy, too, until the only thing Jason can do is surrender himself to Frank's exquisite, excruciating pace and take whatever pleasure he can from it. Jason is sure he won't come, can't come, like this. Frank's pulled a low, sweet tension out of him, but it's a quiet, slow-simmering sort of thing. And then, all of a sudden, without Frank doing a single thing differently, it tips over into a rolling boil. Frank, Jason gasps, half in pleasure and half in shock at the quickness with which it overwhelms him. Frank grunts a reply. If it's meant to be a word, Jason can't begin to decipher it. And then he feels large fingers tangling themselves up with his own and pushing his hands down into the mattress. Jason comes silently and untouched, panting open-mouthed at the sheets and unable to remember his own name. He'd be shaking, he thinks, if there was space for it, if Frank wasn't pinning him down so effectively that it swallowed up all of his come-down. Hold still, Frank mutters a minute later, like Jason has a fucking choice. He should probably hate it, but there's something about the way it's delivered, that gruff voice, the satisfying weight of his body shifting on and around and inside Jason, that makes it delectable. He'll savor it for ages, he can already tell. Frank grunts and then goes still behind him, fingers flexing tightly around Jason's knuckles. There's another grunt when he pushes back against him, both their hips stuttering in tandem, and then he's pulling out, ignoring the low, indignant whine that follows. Jason's never liked the sudden hollow feeling after getting fucked. Frank clambers off the bed and pads out of the room. He leaves his clothes behind, so Jason figures he's probably looking for something to clean them up, rather than yeeting himself out the first window he comes across. Before he returns, the puppy pokes his nose through the open door. The rest of him follows shortly. He's a small, wriggly, warm thing that wiggles over to the side of the bed and looks up beseechingly. Jason can't resist scooping him up off the floor and letting him curl up at the foot of the bed. "You okay with that?" Frank asks a moment later. He's quite the sight, standing naked in the doorway, one arm braced on the lintel. We don't even know if he's house-trained. Jason shrugs, stretches his own arm up above his head to mirror Frank's pose. "I've shared with worse roommates." A pause, then a shrug, and Frank gives him a rare, gorgeous smile. "Well, shit. Merry Christmas, I guess." The end.